With UPS, future you graduates from Metro College with zero debt. How? As a package handler, you'll have a great job while you attend Metro College, and 100% of your tuition will be covered. Future you goes further than you imagine. Find out what you'll become at UPS.
We are ESPN Louisville, your home for the college football playoff, NFL, the Final Four, and best sports talk. Download the ESPN Louisville app today, delivered by UPS Jobs Kentucky.
Bluegrass Karting and Events now has the fastest go-karts in Kentucky and axe throwing. Grab your coworkers, family, and friends and make a night of it with our new full bar and food menu. Bluegrass Karting and Events is Louisville's premier high-speed entertainment destination, online at bluegrasskarting.com.
Tyler Mountain Water has made our office a better place to work for over a year now. They've saved us from long waits at the coffee shop and Diener's rants about those long lines by installing a Keurig that runs right into our water line. So if you want coffee, water, tea, and of course, hot chocolate delivered to your home or office, contact Tyler Mountain Water. They'll throw in a box of K-Cups and a case of bottled water on your first order if you tell them Worldwide sent you. So visit TylerMountainWater.com today. That's TylerMountainWater.com, and make sure to tell them Worldwide sent you.
Time now for the Roundtable on The V Show, presented by the Sports and Social Club.
Bang. Mark Ennis.
I just would be unfair if I did not call them honks.
Lachlan McLean.
They had everyone on the CardinalSports.com staff pick the final record for U of L. They had four people pick it.
Who in here trying to stop me?
Bob Valvano.
Three of them went 5-7, and one went 6-6. And it's like, come on, guys.
Who in here trying to stop me?
You seem super disappointed right now, and yet...
Who that flying in the air? Ooh, that ain't no flying yourself, sir. Ooh. I'm shooting website worldwide.
What's the you seem very disappointed now and yet? What was that from?
That was a Holly Rose interview with Jalen Hurts over the weekend.
Oh.
When he set like records but was really pissed off at how they played.
And he still didn't play well. Well, I was actually eager to get Ennis Locke in here because I was going to ask you to flip roles.
Right.
And I was going to ask him to say what was not good about last night and have you talk about all the things that were good. But now that'll be awful for you because you won't have the negative counterbalance. You'll break out in a rash.
I said lots of positive things about Louisville football after the first quarter was awesome. I think people are overreacting a little bit and forgetting that there were three other quarters after the first quarter when they were outscored 28-3. But the first quarter was great, and the effort throughout the game was great, and Hawkins and Hall looked great, and the atmosphere was great, and the defense making those stops in the second quarter was great. There were lots of positive things. I think people are using some revisionist history to act like it was some kind of toss-up game that could have gone either way, and it was an 18-point loss when it's all said and done.
All right, I'll play. I'm now doing your side. You wanted to be Mark's side. Now we're going to do you. The difference is you never got the feeling. I gave you credit while you were sitting. By the way, I have to tell the inside baseball story. This is such a perfect ESPN Louisville scenario. We're in the communications business. We may be the worst communicators. We're trying to do a roundtable. I'm told Locke and Ennis are going to do it. So I say, Nick, where are they? He said, oh, they started their meeting late because every Tuesday we have a meeting here. So, okay, well. So kiddingly, when Locke came in to give Andy the needle, even though Andy isn't here, I said, well, when Jason was here, we started those meetings on time. Locke says to me, we didn't have a meeting. We were just sitting in the room waiting for Nick to come get us. That's perfect. That is absolutely, that's Mickey Callaway. Like, I didn't know the guy was up warming up in the bullpen. I didn't see him, so I didn't bring him in. I just left him out there. I didn't know. So anyway, so that's what that transpired.
Love it.
Yeah, all right. But I gave you credit while you were in there because I said last year, the Alabama game, we came out and said, hey, well, they were in there. They were competitive, blah, blah, blah. And then they were awful with that game in the monsoon.
Yeah, correct.
And I was one of the people giving them a pass for that because I said it's such an awful set of conditions. And you were one of the people saying, I don't care where they played. They looked awful in that game. And I said, in hindsight, it turns out that you were right. They were a bad football team. The difference, I will say, though, maybe easy in hindsight, I didn't ever get the feeling they were in the Alabama game. It was close to going to the locker room 14-14 last night. I mean, they were a double fumble away from at least playing 30 minutes against the team. And they ran, I think they gained 27 yards on the ground against Alabama last year. They gained 240 last night. That's a different vibe. And the other thing is, and I know you can't quantify it, they just look like a team much more cohesive and determined and with a spirit and with all those attributes, which may sound corny, but I think they're important, and they were not at all evident from halfway through last season on, probably.
Oh, yeah, early on. I mean, no
maybe
question.
Maybe even earlier than that.
I agree. Look, that's the thing. It's that last night's loss to me was nothing like the Alabama game. They were not outclassed. I never thought they were going to win, and I think the perception after the fact that they were right there with Notre Dame is not really borne out. You're not right there if you lost by 18. That being said, I do get the thing, well, if they hadn't fumbled this or if they hadn't, and I don't want to, you know, Andy Sweeney will have his own version of this, but he was giving us a preview. The take comes up at 3-6 that if Bobby Petrino was in a game and it was 14-all and you're getting to the end of the first half against a top 10 team and it's 14-all and all you need to do is just run some plays and get to halftime even, and Bobby would have thrown the ball leading to a turnover, which leads to a score, which leads you down at the half, Bobby would have been criticized. That, what are you doing? What are you doing? You didn't give yourself the best chance to win. No one is even remotely going there. That's a little preview. Andy's going to do a much better job with his own take. But, I mean, we are at the point right now where even things that are maybe legitimately deserving of criticism are not going to get criticized because he's in the honeymoon phase. And, frankly, he lived up to the honeymoon. I mean, I don't want to go too far with the analogies of what you do on the honeymoon night, but he performed, man. He got it done. He just didn't get it all the way done, but they
man. He didn't. I don't know. I got to get that in my head right there.
All right, sorry. No, but I mean, I get the optimism. I don't get the, you know, Andy and I always, the cake never seems to want to bake when it's positive. People are now decided it's a 5-win team. It's a bowl team and everything else. Well, I'm not there yet.
Here's what I will say, and I'd be very surprised if you don't agree with this. Here's the big difference. To me, in a crazy way, the next two games are hugely important because they got no validation from Alabama in those next games last year, but we excused them away. They didn't play well, but we wrote them off as I certainly did. Oh, the rain, the this, the that. They have to come out and be cohesive and focused and win convincingly. And then you can say, all right, now they're three games into doing that. In hindsight, now we realize they never played well last year.
Right. Correct.
I mean, that's the bottom line. And so if they're going to make this a springboard, it's got to springboard to something. Because I got news for you. This may be the most ridiculous take of all. If they win these next two games, I think they could give Florida State a game down there. That program is reeling every direction also, right?
I agree. And that's game we always knew it was going to be pivotal. But having seen Florida State lose and blow a 31-13 lead at home, it becomes, you think of it as a winnable game. Now, Louisville will be at least a touchdown underdog. Yeah. I got to believe in that game.
I think so, too.
So I don't know that we necessarily should consider games where you're 7 or more points.
I mean, well, I'm not saying it's a game they should win.
It's like Kentucky, Florida. Kentucky's going to be a touchdown underdog to the Gators. But Cats fans are like, but we can win that game at home if we show up and do X, Y, and Z. I think that's the way Louisville fans will feel about the Florida State game. And I said all along, if all of a sudden Louisville starts 3-1, if they can beat Florida State, then you got Boston College and Wake Forest, BC
then
at home.
Then it's then not ridiculous
like, oh my
to
God,
be discussing
then it's 5-1.
Yeah, you got to punch your chance at a bowl
I just think
game.
It's probably a little early, and they haven't come up with a point spread yet for the Eastern game, games against FCS opponents.
Yeah,
they usually wait.
Oh, well, ESPN has it at 23
oh,
and a half.
Oh, they do. Okay.
23 and a half, so they need to take care of business.
I mean, to me, that's a... It's an FCS school. You got to cover 23.5 if you want to tell me that you want to keep the momentum going from last night.
Aren't you one of the proponents of this is going to be easy money last night?
Isn't it
unbelievable on the hook? You lose on the hook. It was 18.5. I know some people got it 19 and 20.
I also bet
18.5. They lost on the hook.
Well, I bet it at 20, so I had no chance there. But I bet Notre Dame's individual scoring total was 35.5. So I bet the over on that.
You should call. Wait, I think I've got Van Pelt's number in here.
I mean, I was a field goal away from winning everything because I had the over-under at 55, so I would have pushed there. Field goal away, if they just, come on, Kelly, at the end. Just, you know, you get the ball on the 46-yard line. Go ahead, just gain 20 yards. Give your field
forget
goal
Forget about the betting.
Some practice.
Mark Ennis has just joined us. I won't be struck by this, though.
Mark Ennis, the star of the ACC behind the scenes with Louisville football.
I didn't see that. You're all over that thing? Is he everywhere?
His voice is like the first 5 minutes of the thing.
That was pretty cool. Wow. I wasn't ready for that.
That's awesome. You know why I thought he might run his field goal kicker out? Because they're unproven.
Exactly.
It would have been a really good opportunity for him to get a kick in a game that really is not, you know, pivotal to the game. But that's the one question mark. That team, that punter and the kicker are supposed to be really, they don't know. So I expect him to run the guy out. But Right. How long a kick would it have been?
Oh, no, they didn't even come close. They didn't even get to the 40-yard line. He wasn't, you know, they needed a first down or two.
Oh, I thought they were, would have been
you
like
got an issue with the kick, though. I didn't like Louisville's decision to kick the field goal down two touchdowns.
Yeah, I heard some people like complaining about that.
I did because
it's a sad field goal, if you ask me. You still need two scores.
Yeah, but you only need one touchdown. And Creaky's really good.
That's true.
You're playing to your strength. That's a guy playing to his strength. Because you know late in the game, if you can somehow steal a touchdown and then put a two-minute drive together, he might come bust one from 50 yards out and send the game into overtime or something. I mean,
but you were down 11. You would need a touchdown.
And a two.
And a two. And a field goal.
Yeah, well, but you don't need two touchdowns. I mean, and that's
unless you fail your two, then you need two touchdowns.
Well, then, you know what I mean? Right. Yeah, but then if you get stopped there, you got no chance. They still had a puncher's chance to take money from people, which is what that was. That was a big, and Creaky's good.
Look, I was as wrong as
under
wrong
56
can be.
Hit. That's what matters.
Yeah, I know. I was teasing Mark on Twitter. He bet the under.
I was
Diener
sweating after the first
under.
Quarter, 28
How
points.
How could you not think that it was going to get there? But I was, look, I said 52-17 Notre Dame would win. I was right on with Louisville's point total. I was just so far off with how good Louisville's defense was. Yeah. I had heard some behind-the-scenes stuff that even the coaches were saying privately, like, this defense is going to be a train wreck. That stretch in the second quarter when they stopped a third and two, a third and one, and then three and out. I didn't think I'd see that at all this year.
Well, they only had 11 sacks all of last year, and they had three last night.
It's really – that's – now, Ian Book was – he helped the cause.
Well,
and
listen,
good,
that's the other thing. These are not Stratomatic cards. They're people. It was his first opener. He didn't play the opener last year. He looked like he was all over the map, too. And that's okay.
Breaking the new wide receivers.
Yeah, I mean, that's part of the deal. I'm not making excuses for them, but you got to acknowledge that they don't even get exhibition games. I mean, this was the first real go-around. But didn't get here for the start. What I was going to do is have you flip roles and ask Locke all the positive takeaways from last night.
Okay.
What are the things you'd be concerned about, Mark? So you go the other
way. And I was positive, Mark, with you and I.
I listened to you open your show, too, and you were positive about that, too. I quickly forgot it, though.
That's exactly what
you're supposed
to
not do. To do and
that's what
I did.
That's what you're supposed to do.
Look, Juwan Pass is a negative.
Yeah.
And I think that he started out they almost looked to me like either that was the game plan for Malik Cunningham or they were basically like, let's throw it the minimum we have to throw it. And even that wasn't enough. And I think that anytime there was just an obvious passing down, and guess what? Everyone has passing downs. It wasn't there. And he's still not an accurate passer. And
the receivers
weren't
exactly getting separation, though, either.
No, that's true. But there were plenty of open throws that he missed. I mean, swing out to the running back on third down, he missed him by a good 2 or 3 yards.
Yeah.
There was the one series where they threw it three times, and he kind of overthrew all three throws.
Yeah.
And like he's going to have – they said he needs to be around 60%. He's under 50%. Mm. Like, that's
– that's a concern.
Because all they really need the passing game to do is keep people honest. The drops did not help. There were multiple. I mean,
he should have had a touchdown on
dropped
that
the
pass,
touchdown.
Though, that
Thomas
was...
Jackson dropped the first down one that would have had them ahead of the sticks on I think like the third drive in the second quarter. Like they happened over and over and over again. The drops, him just as a passer. And I thought that the later the game went, the worse he got throwing the ball. Like he just sort of got more and more off. And then later in the game, they blitzed less and they rushed three or rushed four, and they didn't get there.
Yeah. Yeah,
those are the three things I'd be most worried about.
No, well,
yeah, they either are going to have a QB change or a QB controversy.
Yes, I agree.
And you feel bad for Puma because the whole offseason narrative, the poor kid and the confidence and everything else. And guess what he didn't do after game one? Make anyone confident.
He was pretty good at the start, though, when the plays were scripted. I mean, the scripted plays, they went bang, bang, two drives. He looked like a world beater.
And they were asking him to throw the ball at the bare minimum. I mean, I'm not trying to be a smart aleck about it.
You know what?
Bill Walsh didn't throw it.
No, Bill Walsh always says there is a way. There's a strategy to win. You got to figure out what it is.
Yeah, it may come down to. They may just be a running quarterback team.
No strategy where he can't or is not going to be expected to make 10 to 15 throws a game. And I don't think he can make them right now.
Especially when the wide receivers is your best position group. And so you're complete. Like Patty Ice said, he literally feels sorry for the U of L wide receivers. Yeah. Because whether it's Puma or Malik, they're not going to get the ball this year.
They didn't exactly create a lot of passing lanes last night.
You're not wrong about that.
I mean, so, but I know what you're saying. But now, again, I don't want to bring up those other guys. But, I mean, how many times did Terry Wilson throw the ball last year? I mean,
he had multiple games where he completed fewer than 10 passes. I know
Yeah,
that.
I know they beat Vanderbilt. And
that's what I'm saying.
Nine,
so that may be this Louisville team. That may be what it comes down to.
But there were none where completed, like none. Like, you got to complete some, and he could at least kind of
how many,
do
what,
that.
What would pass his numbers?
12 for 27.
12 for 27, yeah.
134.
Well, I don't know. I think he'll get better.
The biggest thing with him, though, is
but how well does Cunningham
the
throw it?
Fumbles. The biggest thing with Juwan Pass tonight were the fumbles. The game's 14-14, 2 minutes
he's
and change.
Trying, at that point, he's trying to do too much. Now he's trying to make a play.
Well,
that's
you had that bizarre series
problem.
Where he fumbles, Book fumbles, he fumbles right back, and they give up that touchdown right before halftime, or else you're going into the locker room
14
tied.
All.
You get the ball first, and then even down seven, you get the ball first. You drive into Notre Dame territory. He fumbles basically on his own, and then Notre Dame scores on two plays.
That's that ball
and
security. There's no getting around that.
Right.
But, all right, but I don't even want to fuel that fire. But how well does Cunningham throw it? So what would be the big change? Just
he's
he
a better
fumble?
Runner. I mean,
he'll run even better.
Like what you saw from Puma on the first two drives, in theory, you could see from a whole game. In theory,
I don't have,
from Malik.
I like the fact that he's willing to run his quarterback. I mean, he's not trying to turn him. I mean, this is college football, man. Turn that guy loose.
Oh, it's a weapon.
It's
they had Notre Dame on skates. They just kept fumbling.
It's another indictment, by the way, of Petrino that he had. He had Puma for a year as a redshirt, a year as Lamar's backup, and a year as a projected starter, and never thought, hey, maybe you want to run this guy a little bit. And he never did. And then Satterfield's like, hey, you know what? Puma can take off.
I don't want it to keep turning into let's just pile on from the last year. But supposedly they were such offensive geniuses. I don't remember them having a great deal of success at the start of games. This scripted series of plays that Satterfield put together was a clinic last night. I mean, absolutely a clinic.
They had him on skates?
They absolutely had him chasing all over the field. And you could see this play. And give whether you like Herbstreit or not, one thing you got to give him credit for, he does a very good job of explaining how this play led to that play, led to that play. Watch the read here. And you could really see what they were putting together. And how about afterwards, though? See, this is the thing, and sometimes I think you don't put a lot of stock in it. Like, I don't want to speak for you, but I do think the intangible stuff goes a long way. I think you could be a genius, and if you don't get guys that are believing in you and each other and in what you're doing, you're going to get nowhere. And last year, after the Florida State game, they lost the locker room and they were done. I thought his take last night was perfect. We're not here for moral victories. If you don't say that, guys are thinking, oh, this guy's just hoping we're going to keep it close. We had to win games. But he let him know, I'm proud of you. When did you hear that last year? You never heard that. You never heard it. I mean, that, at least maybe you didn't. I bet you privately the message was exactly the same. These kids came out of it feeling like they did something significant. So, but I said to Locke before you got here also, don't you think these next two games, as crazy as they may be, take on incredible importance? Because last year, we tried to put a bow tie on the Alabama game, too. Oh, they were competitive, blah, blah, blah. And then they stunk after that.
That's
we had all the excuses, the rain, the
it
this.
It was FCS team Western Kentucky, too, the next two games last year.
And they were, and so now you got a situation where they really have to back that up, don't they, or not?
No, I think they have to follow up this game and look dramatically different than they did a year ago against Indiana State. That was a disaster. Now, look, the rain, of course, ruined that. But, no, it needs to be sharp. They need to finish the things that they did not finish against Notre Dame. It needs to be you can replicate the same. This is what I always really liked about Rick is that, like, if they played Jackson State or if they played Bucknell or whatever, they're going to win by 75. Like, if you're not going to be the competition, we'll be our own competition.
Right, right.
We'll compete against ourselves. And I always felt like they had the exact same intensity almost no matter who they played. And I want to see something like that. I want to
I agree.
To see
I
the
couldn't
team
agree
exactly
with you more.
The same way. And like for me, encouragements, that sort of thing coming out of that one. I mean, they got 190 yards out of the two running backs on 31 carries. That was the last time they did that. I mean, it's been 5 years at least since you had a running game by running backs.
Those guys looked good. I mean, what's the stat? Louisville's been led in rushing by their QBs four straight years. I don't think it's happening.
Wow, that's
this
true.
Year.
I never thought about that.
But I go back, right as you walked in, Mark, I mean, Bob was telling me the number for the EKU game is 23.5. Isn't that what you said?
I did.
To me, then you got to win by 24 or more.
You'd be right there,
To say you're playing an FCS 10. Team with whatever they have, 60 scholarships or something. And
they're a good team, though.
Yeah, no, they're not bad for FCS level. Yeah.
You know what else? This, again, maybe I'm reading too much into this. You know what else I like? The one area that we heard that, he was very gently kind of critical of the old staff was, how do we have 75 wide receivers and like six offensive linemen? And so the one thing you hear about the offensive line, we all thought was, okay, well, that may be a real area of concern. And instead, and every offensive lineman I've ever talked to will tell you we much, much prefer to run block than pass block. Run block, you come off the line, you're trying to knock somebody down. Pass block, you're on your heels and they're running at you. And they came out and just ran the ball down their throat. That's a pretty good message to those kids, which says, you know, we're not going to try and work around you. We're gonna be confident enough we can run the football. And that was the single thing maybe I was most impressed with. The offensive line was pretty damn impressive.
Well, and they've come in and said, like, I think last year one of the things that drove people crazy, and I hate to keep going back to last year too.
Yeah, but you have to.
Exactly.
To discuss this team problem, that's what, no, sorry to interrupt, but a guy texted me and said, stop bringing up last year. No, you can't. Right. In order to talk, because this
it's
team may win narrative. Four games.
It's
and
the
you,
same
you could
players.
Say,
yeah. You have to.
But exactly. Last year, one of the things that drove me crazy was just the sense that they were always flailing. Like, they weren't committed to anything, being anything, doing anything. It was just like, let's just wake up and the world starts over today and we'll see what happens. Every game they played last year, and it's pretty obvious, they showed up from day one. Like, look, we got two run plays. We got inside zone, we got outside zone, and then everything you build off of it. We'll run the quarterback a little bit. But guys, that's what we're going to do. And then they just did it.
And that would be my concern going forward, though, Mark, is if you look at the second half, the run game became less effective because the threat of the pass was clearly non-existent. I mean, on one hand, you got this optimistic take about you've got good running backs. On the other hand, you have a blueprint now on how to defend Louisville.
That's what
you
I'm
take
worried.
That run away, you know, and you force whoever
nobody has
QB
seen him
is.
Coach here yet. Now they start adjusting. Does this team have the ability to counter?
They have to be able to punish people who do. Notre Dame started putting that Gilman guy in the box.
Yeah.
And if you can't throw over the top
well,
of that.
There you go. You're just, back to that again, but
yeah,
it's
they
true.
They have to. That's the thing. With the quarterback run game, with the running backs being able to run, and I think kind of the quick stuff they did with Atwell was kind of nice. But if you can't punish people for over pursuing and over defending, bringing eight and a half guys into the box, that sort of thing, then yeah, that's how they're going to defend you. You've got to make them pay for that. No different than Lamar in the NFL.
It is, by the way, a 26 and a half.
26, okay.
26 and a half.
That's a lot.
Like, I would go back, and that's why I'm not sure that, despite all the optimistic things you saw last night, I don't know that it changes Louisville's, in my mind, projected win total, which is still low. And I go back, like, the reason we were so down on Louisville is because they were so bad last year that they could make up a lot of ground and still be bad. So, like,
right.
Let's say last year's team loses to Notre Dame by 36, and this year's team loses to Notre Dame by 18.
That's
you're like,
be the
that's
story
fantastic
line.
Progress. Well, you could still be a lot better and lose to Boston College, which isn't as good as Notre Dame. And so, hey, you didn't lose by 18. You lost to Boston College by 4. Well, it's still ultimately those losses add up. I think you are excited as a Louisville fan because it does appear, other than Clemson, that they will be competitive in every game. And when you're competitive and you got a shot and it's interesting in the fourth quarter and it's been, Mark kind of tests more than anyone, it's been a long time since a Louisville game was interesting in the fourth quarter. And that alone has the fan base exuberant. I think maybe a little bit over-exuberant, but exuberance.
That's why the next 2 weeks are going to be really important.
You also have week one, you always have this phenomenon, sort of like spring games, where like Notre Dame might actually not be all that good.
Right.
Like, we don't know. We need one more data point to be like, was that something? Or was, like, who is this more about? Was this about Louisville? Was this about Notre Dame? You know, if Notre Dame is, I think they play New Mexico and then they play Georgia. Like
and
if
then
they,
Virginia.
If they just sort of dink and dunk around with New Mexico, I'll heartburn a little bit. Like, that was not good.
Yeah.
But if they come out and they roll New Mexico and then they go into Georgia with a lot of confidence, and you say, maybe that was something.
Look, I try to go by numbers because when we do the eyeball test, I mean, I'm not a trained football coach, and sometimes we see things through tinted glasses. So you want to go by numbers. But it was hard not to just by the eyeball test look at that team and think how markedly not only better were they, but comparable with a lot of games I saw over the weekend. I looked at that team and said, they go out there, they're not going to be – I mean, the other ACC teams, other than Clemson, of course, but, I mean, they should be competitive. I mean, and that's – you know, maybe it's setting the bar low, but that's why I say it's got to be relative to what went on last year, because a 4-win season, it's not a season to have a parade over, but based on where they were last year, if they can get to 4 wins, win a couple of conference games, be that competitive at home, yeah, I think there's reason to say, yeah, that's something to be positive. You know, I got to bring up a baseball analogy. It's like watching the Mets. The Mets probably won't go to the postseason this year, but they've been a hell of a lot of fun to watch the last month. They've got good players. They got a star. They're competing. They're in every game. I think that if they do that this year all year, the Louisville fan base will be off to a good start.
Well, I watched, God bless the ACC Network, making these 20-25 minute condensations of all the football games.
Yeah, they're really?
Condensed games
on YouTube, not
yes,
okay.
On YouTube, and it is a gift. So, I mean, I've watched every ACC team that Louisville plays
in
this year
an hour and a half
on YouTube. Right, right. And I'm telling you, like none of those teams outside of Clemson is so far.
That's
removed
what I mean, right?
From
the eyeball test, right?
But you like Syracuse played at Liberty, and it was like 24-0 was the final, and like they didn't really do much of anything. That game wouldn't scare me at all.
Well,
now,
you wonder if they're
going to win, but
you wonder if they're keeping plays. You know, they do that sometimes, so you can't see.
It's so weird with him pointing up at Hugh Freeze on the hospital bed in the press box. So weird.
Who did then?
Hugh Freeze coached the game, you know, from the hospital.
So who pointed up to the thing?
Dino Babers,
Dino,
instead of the hand,
the
post-game handshake.
Instead of the handshake,
he just pointed up at him up there.
It's like
and they got this picture of him waving back.
It's like when they thanked the orchestra in the theater. It's like, I didn't even see that part. You know what? If they'd scored on the 2-2 end-around option pass, the place would have lost its mind.
I agree.
They ran and they set that up all game. It was the perfect time to run it. And he was open, too. I really thought they were going to score on it. So I thought the play calling was kind of innovative. So
although I thought both coaches, and I made this point in the midday rush, went away from what was working for them.
Yeah, I don't know why. Notre Dame stopped running the ball.
And that's just ignorant. It's Brian Kelly trying to be too cute and prove how smart he is or you know, Chip Long, whatever. And then I even thought with Satterfield, the QB run was working early, and I felt like they got away from that. It's like they ran out of scripted plays. Like, bro, you can just run those same plays that worked before.
Right.
Just take the script
do it again.
And turn it over. And like they showed on the TV, like the
snakes go back and do
the
reverse
Michigan
order.
From the game, right? And as he runs a play, he crosses it out. I'm like, once you cross it out, you can still use
it again.
Like you're not, you know, they're not restricted from using it twice if you want to.
That was interesting. That notebook thing with the. Because Fowler was like, he was like a tiny bit annoyed. Did you hear Fowler? You were at the game, so you probably didn't hear it.
Right.
Fowler was saying, I don't know, not in a bad way, but he was like, I just wanted a story about the Michigan game. And Satterfield jumped up and said, well, I got the notebook from the game. And he brought the notebook out and started going through it. And Fowler was like, I just wanted a story about the game.
I took it as Fowler was impressed. He's like, I just wanted
a story.
He exceeded the story. And I got way more than a story.
Okay,
I got the notebook.
Yeah, I just wanted a story. And he went way beyond that.
That's the way I took
it.
And
I was surprised he does. I think most coaches keep files on games.
I'd keep that one.
I just surprised how basic that piece of paper was. You know, that was very.
I like that about
you. Think
it wasn't. It wasn't a big. It wasn't a big glossy. You know, and what
Waffle House
you know,
menu.
It wasn't the Waffle House menu. It was a red Staples notebook. That was pretty impressive.
Speaking of Waffle House menus, now another thing we got to get used to is the coach just holding his hand over his mouth instead of holding the Waffle House menu over his mouth when he calls the plays. So it's like it's a new era of Louisville football.
What about a quick comment? The defense still gave up 10 yards a rush for a long stretch, and yet you walked out and said the defense was much better.
Well, I think it's because they did handle third and fourth down, short yardage down and distance. So that helped. There were no gashes like Clemson last year where it was like 40 and 50 yard runs over and over and over again. I think the most disappointing run maybe for me of the whole game, you had the Ian Book run on the first drive and then the third and 15 and they just ran a draw and he got 18 and got the first down and they scored on that drive. Other than that, they kind of made Notre Dame just sort of churn. And they did in chunks, but I think the fact that they were able to stop up until that the last scoring drive for Notre Dame in the fourth quarter, they were 2 of 9 on third down.
Yeah.
And like that
that's unbelievable.
And then they got 3 on that drive, and you know, ended up 5 out of 12.
You know, that's why people love loving the defense is that third down stat alone. It's almost like there's always one stat takes on magnified importance. Mm-hmm. But even as a I don't disagree. Like I'm giving the defense credit because those third down stops, especially in the second quarter, but even they did it a couple times in the third as well. They got Notre Dame off the field, which I did not.
So between third and fourth down, they ended up 5 of 13. And I mean, if you're Louisville,
you got to be
especially
thrilled.
Given last year,
you got to be thrilled.
You will take
that.
That's
the bottom line. The bottom line is this: if they were embarrassed for 2 solid months last year, that was not an embarrassing football team last night.
I go back to Charlie's first year here. Like you could tell they were coached much better.
Yes.
They were in a lot better shape. And then you could tell when they were going to lose these games where they just don't have enough pieces. The Pittsburgh game, the Kentucky game to open, you know, that year where Kentucky had multiple guys that were really good. They were kind of at the peak there of the Rich Brooks stuff. Like you knew, all right, West Virginia, they'll be competitive, but they probably won't win. And that's exactly how they were in every game that they lost. And I think fans are savvy enough mostly to see that, and that's what that was last night.
Well, I was struck by that. I mean, I forget which play it was. I know it's situational substitution, but Notre Dame's run like five more guys in, like every play. These massive guys that are just I don't even know their resumes, but I'm sure I'm looking. They would be like four star high school America,
absolutely.
Whatever. And they're just running them out in waves, you know. And he's trying to work with six linemen or whatever he's working with.
And a good example last night, Kane Pass gets hurt on the previous possession.
Yep.
Goes out, and that's Jack Fagone, who's a walk-on who's just got a scholarship, and Notre Dame throws over him twice for a touchdown on the next drive. Well, like they went right at him.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah,
and it's going to be like that.
Well, it was an encouraging night. What else is in the news before I let you go? Anything on your mind? What are you talking about? You're just talking about this game the whole 3 hours today?
A big chunk of it. Matt Fortuna was embedded for the whole 24 hours up to it, and then through the game and through this morning, he's going to come on five. We'll talk about that.
He was embedded?
Yeah, he was with them the whole time.
Oh, I thought like
behind the scenes.
Yeah. I thought he was in Afghanistan or something.
That also happens. I'm sure last year he did the same thing. He probably felt like Afghanistan.
The Louisville football Twitter account did release the video of Satterfield in the locker room after the game, and he was like, we're going to be a good team.
I've got a man crush on the guy, and I've not met him. He's coming to town. I haven't even met him yet. But every time I see him, and this is really going to sound the wrong way, but I'll say it anyway, I love him because he says things that I would say. I'm like, as a coach, I'm saying, that's what you should say to because I hate to say it. I would hear things come out of other staff's mouths, and I cringe. I'd say, what the hell are you saying? Why are you doing that? I mean, I cringed all the way back to Alabama, to be honest with you. Yeah. That nonsense in the preseason was just, I mean, that was ridiculous. I'm sorry. It was ridiculous. It wound, you know what? It wound up being counterproductive because people really believed him.
Well, and they did the opposite. They didn't really hype us on anything. And look how freaking happy we are about virtually everything we saw last night.
Thank you. And then you say, we're not here for moral victories, right? We're here to win games. But you tell your players, my father was a coach. If there's one bit of advice he gave me that I pass on every time I talk to young coaches, I'm telling you. It's absolutely the most valuable. Always remember your players need you more when they lose than when they win. Huh. And if you don't remember that, you're going to have a hard time. And I'll be honest with you. I'm not sure the other staff understood that because they lost the Florida State game. These kids are confused. Why didn't we win? We should have won that game. Instead, you come in and kick them right in the neck.
Oh, yeah. It's your fault. You lost this game.
You lost this game.
Yeah.
You know, I think he told them, the kids are saying the same thing. Coach, do we do better? You know, they want to know. They didn't win. So, and he's in there telling them, I love you. We're going to be fine. Let's keep working hard. And I was like, good for you, Scott. I'm a big fan of that.
A lot more personal insight, I think, almost the entire staff than a year ago.
Well, that's the other thing. That's a good point. I mean, I hate nepotism. But I point to myself. But, I mean, you do
at least
wonder.
He claims you now.
You do.
Right?
He strapped the phone.
You do wonder about what the hell was going on with the staff last year. You can't dump all that at Bobby's lap. I mean, how many – too many men on the field penalties and just basic breakdowns. They just looked a lot more organized.
You know what's funny? Like, just the team being what it was last night, they had a snap infraction.
They had one.
They had too many men on the field coming out of a timeout where they messed up. But you know what? Like, it looked different.
Yeah, but
it's a different kind of 12.
That's normal. That's a normal mistake. The mistakes that went on last year were, it's like a guy, you know, I hate to say it, it's like a guy who comes in with a medical condition. I got a small rash. I've seen that. As opposed to the guy coming in who's got three heads. You know, that's what last year's team was the guy in your behavioral, whatever that class, remember that class you took in high school with all the pictures of the guy who had the nail driven through his head and all that stuff?
I didn't go to that class.
No, I was going to say, Bob.
You didn't have that class?
That was sadism 101. I didn't sign up for that.
You can absolutely look this up. Now, you're curious guys. You'll both go do it. There was a guy working on the railroad.
Oh, I've seen the picture. I just
and he
didn't
had
see
the
it in
nail.
High school.
Well, because they taught behavioral. It was like, how did it affect your behavior? Right. Not surprising when they found out, you know, he was a little more cranky. You know, he had loss of appetite. You know, but it was, you know, so last year's team.
Suck it up, dude. Come on.
Last year's team would have been in that book. All right, boys, thank you for doing a belated triangular table. Thank you so much. We'll take a break. We'll come back. It is ESPN 680, 105.7.
Spectrum Mobile offers the flexibility you want and savings you deserve. Get our unlimited data plan and save up to 40%. Or pay for just the data you use with our Buy the Gig plan. Both plans have unlimited nationwide talk and text. Bring your current phone and save even more. Ready for a new phone? Get our best trade-in offer plus an extra $100 towards a new one. Visit SpectrumMobile.com today. Restrictions apply. Check for details.
Did you know that every diamond at Genesis Diamonds is over 1 billion years old? That's before dinosaurs. even before some of the stars in the sky. These elusive stones were originally formed miles beneath the Earth's surface, each one born in a volcanic explosion, yet kept hidden for generations. It's a fact that for every 1-carat diamond at Genesis Diamonds, trained miners blasted through over 200 tons of rock, and skilled experts sifted through the rubble to find the highly sought-after rough diamonds. Then expert cutters spent untold hours shaping and polishing each stone, unlocking its beauty and fire and brilliance. From the hands of the craftsman direct to you, these magical stones are your piece of eternity. Precious, rare, unique, indestructible, and treasured all over the world. Oh, and the unbeatable prices at Genesis Diamonds, they're just a bonus. Genesis Diamonds, uncompromising quality, unimaginable value.
Whether it's a new home or refinancing your current investment, consider Century Mortgage, Kentuckiana's top mortgage lender and Kentucky's largest locally owned mortgage banking institution. At Century, you're meeting with people who live here, work here, and like you are invested in this community. Our commitment to personal local business drives us to deliver exceptional service to our clients and community. Low rates and our dedication to closing loans in under 30 days make today a great day to visit CenturyMortgage.com. Century Mortgage Company is your trusted key to home ownership. Century Mortgage Company is an equal housing lender, NMLS number 3925.
For some, it's extreme sports. For others, it's a really close ball game. But what gets our blood pumping at Baptist Health is pioneering new treatments for heart disease, equipping our expert team with the latest technology, and developing techniques that improve heart attack survival rates. At Baptist Health, we push ourselves to provide exceptional heart care for one reason: so you can keep enjoying the things that get your blood pumping. Learn more at baptisthealth.com/heartcare.
Here's what you missed on the Diener Show.
Andrew Luck's decision, what was your reaction? What do you think of it?
I mean, honestly, I was shocked. He comes back and has an awesome year last year, and then he's got this foot ankle deal. I don't know if we've gotten any extra clarity on it and the severity of it, but that training room life stuff, you know, he's always kind of been a cerebral guy where it almost seems like, you know, he's into football, but he's also into his books and his learning and this and that. I guess it just mentally took a toll on him.
Weekday mornings, 7 to 10 on 93.9 The Ville, ESPN 680, and 105.7.
Hey, Cardinal fans, you can live the life of a U of L basketball player at the Chris Mack Basketball Fantasy Experience. Participants get inside access to Cardinal basketball never seen before. Get elite instruction from guest coach Bill Murray, as well as basketball insights from Commissioner Jay Billis. This is your opportunity to join the Cardinal basketball family, attend a VIP party at Chris Mack's home, and compete for a championship at one of the finest basketball practice facilities in the country. Visit ChrisMackExperience.com today for all the details.
Hey, Bobby V here. You've heard me talking about Vitality Wellness and weight loss for good reason. I've lost over 20, almost 30 pounds, actually, and it's all personalized and works just for you. It's not a one-size-fits-all diet, and they tailor their programs, their supplements, the minerals, to what your body needs. I like understanding how and why we're doing things, and that's what they explain to you at Vitality Wellness and Weight Loss. Give them a call. They're at 502-442-7180. Vitality Wellness and Weight Loss. Be healthier, thinner, happier. Starting tomorrow at Vitality.
Listening to The V-Show with Bob Valvano on ESPN 680 and 105.7.
I knew I wasn't making that up. Texter said the guy's name was Phineas Gage. The fella had a railroad spike driven through his head. And if you read about it, it's... I thought, of course, it was behavioral science. I think that is. I'm almost sure that's what it was. But it said, if you, this is a discussion about him, professor of neuroscience writing about it. Phineas Gage has long occupied a privileged position in the history of science. Few isolated cases have been as influential in the neurological and neuroscientific thinking. He did suffer a well-described accident, which resulted in major damage to his skull and his brain, We do know that after the accident, his personality underwent a major change and his reliability was compromised. Well, I mean, the guy had a railroad spike through his head. Did you think it was not going to affect him? I mean, what? We needed to study that, to figure that out? I notice Phineas is not as encouraged to play softball as he was before, having his head smashed with a railroad spike. Yikes.
Hey, Phineas, why are you so grouchy? Well, I don't know. Maybe I could take a stab at it.
Yes, that was. Thank you for that. I did not realize that was the man's name. I'm not making light of it. Could you imagine that?
Oh, that'd be awful.
I mean, they couldn't take it out, evidently, because they would have killed him. So,
have you seen the surgery? And this is cool in the sense that it keeps somebody, something like a hand is like really damaged.
Mm-hmm.
They sew it into the person.
Yeah.
And to allow it to heal enough so that they can then either reattach it or do whatever surgery they need to do to save it.
So they actually took it out. I thought he had to live with it in there. They actually removed it.
Oh, they removed the spike. Oh, I thought there was a guy.
This is the guy. I guess they took it out because there's a picture of him holding the spike and the whole left side of his face is somewhat misshapen. But anyway, that's it. So somebody said, this guy said might have been abnormal psych. That might have been it. Maybe that was what the class was. I don't know. It's many, many, too many years ago, unfortunately, for me to remember. But thanks for letting me know that.
That was a good We Want to Know Wednesday, a day early.
Phineas Gage.
There's been a cold war here in the studio.
Well, literally a cold war.
Yeah.
Are you freezing again?
Well,
Why didn't you do what you said you were going to do, which is bring in...
I had a hoodie.
And what happened?
It was in my hand. I left it. I thought I texted you to grab that for me.
No. Right. Well, if you did, I didn't see it.
Sully will join us in 5 minutes, by the way. He had a lunch interview, so I wasn't sure if he was 50-50, and the roundtable went a little late. So, but just got word that Tim Sullivan, he'll be joining us in 5 minutes. We're also efforting Jameson Hensley.
No, we're not. He was with us the other day.
I know that joke doesn't really work anymore.
That poor man doesn't know that he's like a constant reference line of ours.
We're efforting Jameson Hensley.
Is Andy eating a sandwich, or is that Milantoni's?
I think it's
still the
sandwich.
Leftover. Stuff
delicious leftover at Penn Station.
By the way, was Johnny Sales there last night?
Johnny Sales was there.
Is he going out of his mind?
I meant to ask him if he saw my T-shirt.
What are you talking about?
Me and Ennis and I, both had clothes missing from the tailgate.
Well, all right, I'm going to really dread entering in here, but how did you lose clothes at the tailgate?
Well, not for any sexy reasons, but... Mark had, I think, two pairs of shirts.
Two pairs of shirts? What the hell is going on? Did you get the railroad spike through the head? Two pairs of shirts?
Maybe. But, no, he had a pair of shirts. Sorry. One for ESPN and one for the Cardinal.
What do you mean, one when he was on the air for ESPN and then one to go as a fan? Or what?
No. For the two different publications he works for.
Oh.
And
why did he have to change to...
Well, you want to wear your team's uniform. That's fine. Nothing wrong with that.
So he wore the radio shirt when he was on the radio, and then when he went and covered the game, he changed his shirt to the publication
shirt? I don't know. I don't know if he did or not, but I just know that it was hanging up in our caboose. And it's a nice shirt. It's a really nice shirt. And it wasn't there.
No.
And it was like hung up in the bathroom. So it was out of the way. So someone stole that. Now mine, I think, probably didn't get stolen because it was not in a spot hung up with care.
Still doesn't explain to me why you felt the need to change at the game.
Okay,
why didn't you were wearing?
All right, so I had my ESPN polo on.
Okay.
Looking professional.
Right.
Underneath it, it was a blackout after all. I am an alum. I am a fan at heart.
Oh, I see.
I had the shirt underneath. Now, I was driving scooters over there with Coop, and it got really
sweaty.
Did you take
a scooter?
We did.
Oh,
however, there's like a restricted area, which I guess they
don't allow Jewish people in? Oh, I was going to say, there's a lawsuit there. If that was the case, that's not what you meant. All right.
That's not at all what I meant, no.
Okay, thank goodness, because I went in this day and age, I would have been very...
No, it's just they do it so the scooters, I guess, for liability reasons. They don't want a bunch of people boozed up cruising around, like making this look like it's like Thailand or something like that, like in traffic. So our scooters shut off, so we had to walk.
The scooter shuts off automatically?
Yeah, it does. It sucks.
That's dynamic. technology that is.
Yeah, I know. So the furthest we saw a scooter get was to Marklin Stadium. And
oh, that's a good, yeah. Still a good.
And ours
got to hoof it from there.
Ours tapped out about a little yum. So we had a
ooh,
little bit of a trek.
Hoof.
And we were going to Andy and the Take. He and Easy were at a roofing business a little ways from the stadium.
Right.
So it was a bit of a trek. So I was getting kind of sweaty. So what I did was I took
your polo off.
I took the black shirt off from underneath, which I was wearing as an undershirt. My Honk U of L fan shirt, you know, Let's Go Cards,
right
on the front.
You had a black shirt that said Let's Go Cards.
Yes,
where'd
because
you get that from?
Oh, there's a story. Oh, because God. In college,
talk about going down the rabbit.
Yeah. Oh yeah. No, we're plunging to raise money for the club hockey team. Me and a couple of age guys and a couple of assistant coaches went to this party like in Lake Forest or whatever as like bartenders or like bouncers. It was basically just like, I mean, it wasn't like mixed drinks or anything. I think it was like Wells and beer. And it was a big party. It was like a half UK, half U of L party. I mean, Nappy Roots like showed up. Like it was crazy just in this dude's backyard. He had a mansion. It was nice. So they handed out t-shirts and I got a Louisville one. And to this day, it was one of my favorite shirts because that party was awesome. And it was a black U of L Go Card shirt. It was a workout shirt. So I put it in the freezer to keep it nice and cool so I could go into the game with a nice cool shirt. Because I know me. I mean, the uniforms looked great last night. I don't really know why they did a blackout for the hottest game of the year.
Well, it's nighttime, so the sun was down, so it shouldn't have made a difference.
Not for the tailgating, Dad. Not for the walk-in, which evidently took a long time. I'm just saying. I'm not being that guy.
By the way, they had a great turnout for the card march, didn't they? Yeah. I read that somewhere, that the turnout was huge.
Yeah, and it looked cool. Don't get me wrong. I'm not hating on all the black. I'm just saying, as an Italian, we are born sweaty. So when it's kind of toasty outside and your scooter craps out and you got to walk a little bit, you know, you want to cool down. So I put it in the freezer.
Obviously,
came back after the game.
I don't think somebody stole it. I think somebody said this drunk jackass just left his clothes in the freezer. I bet you they threw it out.
Well, yes, that's what I'm saying. That's what I was getting to. Pretty sure Ennis's got stolen. Mine got thrown out. And I rummaged through the trash and I couldn't find it.
Yeah, that's what I would think.
But I did leave my keys. They fell out of my pocket and wrapped around the chair I was sitting on in the suite. So you couldn't see it and it wasn't like on the ground. So I left without them, got to the caboose, realized that, ran all the way back in and up to the suite and asked the lady. I looked all over. I was like, I don't see them, but I know they're in here. And she looked with me and she was like, oh, look, they wrapped around the chair. So I guess it was a push. It was a push. I got my keys back, lost one of my favorite shirts.
You're better off losing your shirt than your key.
Well, yeah. And I didn't lose my shirt in betting like Jamie did. So,
well, that'll teach him on the hook. Louisville, 26.5-point favorites, by the way, for their upcoming game against Eastern Kentucky.
I was trying my damnedest to get us to the top there with that story. Sorry.
Trying to do what?
Trying to get us to the top there with that story. We're at 159. I tried.
Okay. Well, we have plenty to talk about. We got 9,000 cuts from Satterfield, and we're getting texts all over the place here. So
Sully's available in T-minus 1 minute.
Good point. U of L may only have to play one more ranked team in the rest of the year if Syracuse is just teetering inside the top 25, falls out. It's still not going to be an easy schedule, but I'm telling you, that was a very encouraging start. I really do believe that. I like this tradition at the end of the matches. The player signs 4 tennis balls, and then he or she walks to the middle of the court and hits one in all 4 of the directions. I think that's cool. You see it at the end of every match. They all do that. The winner goes and signs, and there's one last one. They take tennis balls. They sign 4 of them. And then they face, you know, northeast, south, and west, and they hit them all in the stands.
That's pretty cool.
You didn't know that?
No, I didn't know
that. They do it every match. It's very cool. And the tennis balls, you can take a pretty good whack at them. They're not like a baseball. Not going to hurt anybody.
I mean, you could get the people in the upper deck, probably.
Vina Svetolina, the number 5 seed, just won in the quarterfinal. And she is, wherever she's from Ukraine. Emily, this is some sort of historic win.
I think it's Ukraine.
Because I think she's the first Ukrainian woman to ever reach the U.S. Open semifinals. I think that's what this.
I know flags. I'm pretty good at flags.
Yeah, that is amazing
good
that you do know flags. How would you know that's the Ukraine flag? That's amazing. I don't know anybody's flag.
I'm not perfect at it, but I'm pretty
You're pretty good, especially the countries that all broke off from the former Soviet Union. There's a bunch of new flags, essentially.
I would do really well with a multiple choice. That was it.
You'd recognize if they gave you the option in there.
Yeah. Like, which one of these is Liberia?
Speaking of which, we'll get back to football. Tim Sullivan is going to join us in a bit about last night's game. But did you see the U.S., that crazy game they won in the international play?
Forced overtime with, 0.1 seconds
overtime, and then they win. And that's fun. It really is. You know, they're not just going to steamroll people. But it's very entertaining, and Donovan's playing some quality minutes, and it's going to be fun to watch them, see if they can win this championship. They had their hands full with, who was it, Turkey, right?
Yep.
Turkey by a point in that matchup. You know what else you have your hands full with? Trying to find the right place to go and get a piece of jewelry for the best price that you know is going to be with a company that stands behind what they sell. Well, then I got that solved for you. That's Genesis Diamonds, because how much they stand behind their product? You buy a diamond from them, and then you decide in a year or a couple of years you want to trade up. They'll give you 110% of what you paid for your diamond originally towards your new diamond. Let's give you an example. Let's say you buy a $5,000 diamond now. You bring it back in a few years, and you say, hey, there's a $7,000 diamond I'd really like. They'll give you $5,500 for your original diamond, the $5,000 you paid plus 10% more. So you only pay the difference in cash for the new one. In this example, you'd only pay $1,500 more and end up with a much bigger diamond. That is the way that you take care of your customers. And why do they do that? Because they've always been about trying to make you a customer for life. They're not going to upsell you to try and get you to buy something that you really can't afford, so they make a bigger commission. They're non-commissioned salespeople. It's a great place, a safe place to shop for jewelry. They have the best prices, the best selection, GIA certified diamonds. These are the real deal. Real designers. It's not some cheap knockoff stuff. And you talk about standing behind your product, they will give you 110% of your purchase price towards a new diamond if you want to come back and get something later, because they are building friends and customers for life. That's what they've done with us. That's what they'll do for you as well. So check them out, Genesis Diamonds, official jeweler of both the Louisville Cardinals and the Kentucky Wildcats, Shelbyville Road Plaza, next to Trader Joe's. We're at the top of the hour. We'll take a break. We'll effort Tim Sullivan, and we'll get to some more of your texts as well. Thank you for all the comments. If you're just joining us, I know it's a different audience every hour. Look, there's still a lot of things to do. Let the cake bake. I'm that guy, blah, blah, blah. But I just walked away from last night's game feeling like what a tremendous, tremendous step forward it was for this football program. And the players deserve a lot of credit. And Satterfield and his staff deserve a great deal of credit as well. It was a completely different atmosphere. Guy just sent a text that I think sums it up. It says, I'm a season ticket holder, and I didn't go to a game last year. Because that team took all the enjoyment out of going. I went last night. My fire is back. This team's going to be fun. Coaching makes a big difference. Wish we played again tonight. And it's nice to see that kind of enthusiasm, and they deserve that kind of response. They played hard. They played together. The coaches did a terrific job. That's a very good Notre Dame team. And I'm sure you may have had an incident with a Notre Dame fan or something, but I got to tell you the truth. They sometimes get a little too self-righteous for my taste, but it's amazingly classy environment. You go to Notre Dame, they wait for your team bus, and as you're getting off, there's a guy there who greets you, say, welcome to Notre Dame. They welcome you. They welcome Notre Dame. Somebody walks you to your locker room. As Rick Pitino used to say, it's great coming here. They greet you. They're so friendly. They say, welcome to Notre Dame. Welcome to Notre Dame. Walk to your locker room, then go out and kick your ass. But that's really the way to do it. And last time, I guess, now I don't know, maybe because they didn't really feel like they were threatened. I don't know. They should have, though, because it was a game until the third quarter. But you said you ran into a bunch of very cordial Notre Dame fans.
Yeah, there were a lot of Notre Dame fans by the caboose. I forgot who it was that, Mike Grundy? I'm drawing a blank, but
the guy, the Oklahoma State coach?
No. He hopped on with Ennis. He was very good on the air. There were a lot of them. They were really friendly.
Anyway, speaking of being good on the air, we got a lot of compliments on our little visit with Georgia? The Biscuit Man yesterday.
Yeah,
he was good. He was fun. We got a nice. We have a nice thing going. We need to. Somebody said, now you guys got to start singing karaoke. That's Jason's thing. But, he was fun to visit. We got to get him to quit his real job and just come work here for no money.
You can call in non-lethal threats to his company. Who is this? Who's walking in?
I don't know, but you can't hear because we left the door to the studio open.
Did you leave the door?
No, that was when Locke and Ennis left.
Oh, okay.
That's right. It's top of the hour break. I'm going to shut the door, and we're going to continue. Thank you for being with us. You're listening on ESPN 680 1057.
UPS is currently hiring package handlers for its preload operation. Earn $13 an hour and receive up to $250 in weekly attendance bonuses while working up to a career as a package car driver. In as little as 6 months, you could have an opportunity to connect with customers and build lasting relationships in the community. Future you looks good in brown. Apply now at upsjobs.com or text brown to 33588. That's brown to 33588.
Bluegrass Karting and Events now has the fastest go-karts in Kentucky and axe throwing. Grab your coworkers, family, and friends and make a night of it with our new full bar and food menu. Bluegrass Karting and Events is Louisville's premier high-speed entertainment destination online at bluegrasskarting.com.